Dearly beloved in Christ, today we celebrate the Sunday within the octave of the Ascension. Our Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, as the scripture tells us, and it came to pass that while he blessed them, he departed from them and was carried up to heaven. And it would be easy to think that this departure of our Lord from his apostles would cause them great sadness. He was their teacher. He had been there to guide them every step of the way. If they had any questions, they had only to ask him who is truth itself. They had none other than the Word incarnate as their master, teacher, and guide. And now he was going to leave them. Perhaps they might have felt like lost children. Getting lost, even as an adult, can be a scary thing, and it can cause us great anxiety and worry, and we can even end up in dangerous situations. But imagine being in the same position as the apostles and the disciples of Jesus. God himself was with them that whole time. He had come down to rectify the sinful world. He took upon himself our sins, opened the gates of heaven, established the New Testament. He worked countless miracles and routed the attacks of those who tried to discredit him and his apostles, and he filled all his followers with confidence. But now he was going to leave them. He had given them all they needed, and now they must carry on the mission. But he reassures them that he must depart in order to send the Holy Ghost. He says, "I will be with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." We might well imagine that the apostles would be sad and perhaps scared and dejected, but the very next verse from the book of Luke dispels this thought. "And they, adoring, went back into Jerusalem with great joy after the ascension of our Lord. They were filled with courage, confidence, and holy joy, not as much as they would receive from the Paraclete when our Lord would send the Holy Ghost, but they were refreshed by our Lord with a supernatural strength to face the things that were to come. And they might have feared that the Jews would have 11 more crucifixions as they returned into Jerusalem, excluding of time, at the time, of course, Judas, who had already despaired. But no, they returned with joy, adoring God. This should be a reminder to us that when we have crosses to bear, great trials to overcome, remember that our Lord is there at our side and he will not abandon us, especially when we are striving to do God's will. He will give us the courage to continue on. But above and beyond that, he will bring us joy when we are truly committed to doing God's will and to avoiding sin. Some refer to the joy that we may experience, spiritual joy, as a peace of heart, contentment of mind, the peace of conscience. Although I think you can look at any of the lives of the saints and we can see that you're still going to have to suffer trials at times and burdens, and these crosses aren't always going to be a joy to us. They are hard to bear, but also looking at the lives of the saints, we see that they were happy as they bore these crosses and trials, and these pains, these sufferings, were turned into joy for those who love God and seek to do the will of God in all things. The cross is their joy. It becomes their glory in their suffering and trial. I remember a holy card with a picture of the crown of thorns, and it said on the card, "I never said it would be easy. I only promised it would be worth it." And I know in the back of our minds, we could think that, well, it's easy for them. They were saints. And, you know, God had favored them with many graces. And yes, admittedly, there is times when we think that our crosses and trials are not always easy, and we may think that they are too much for us. Perhaps we loathe these trials and crosses. But the thing that we have to remember is that if we persevere and we strive to do God's will, no matter how we carry that cross, in the end, Jesus will come through with his grace, and we will ultimately succeed. But we are reminded of the same principle in the matter of prayer. Although we may get distracted, although we may feel like we're making little or no progress in the spiritual life through our prayers, Despite these negative feelings, if we do our best to avoid distractions and to truly make an effort to pray well, in the end, we are doing all that God expects of us, and his grace will triumph in our hearts. Yes, Jesus still comforts us and is near us, even though he ascended into heaven. And I say he is near us, for he is right here. He is listening right now to you and to me. And when we look at it in this light, we can see how the saints were able to bear their crosses and trials with such joy and cheer. We can see why the apostles could return to Jerusalem with joy. Jesus ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and yet he waits for us here. We have only to come to him in the tabernacle to hear him speak to our hearts. More than that, we have the opportunity of receiving him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, into our own bodies for strength, courage, guidance, and the nourishment of our souls. Our Savior knew that we would need this great gift. He did not abandon us. In fact, he is with us in an even more intimate way when we receive him in the Blessed Sacrament. He yet lives among us, but now in silence, and our poor souls surely need this strength of the Almighty to keep us on the straight and narrow. We get a glimpse of what the soul endures on earth and the paradise to come when we look at the life of our Lord, at his passion, death, resurrection, and ascension. We see him in his passion, suffering and toiling. We see him in as he is dying on the cross in great agony, and he prays that the Father forgive his enemies, and he bears all these intense sufferings in obedience to the will of the Father. And then that great joy when we behold him rise from the dead and show himself to his apostles and to his followers. And finally, he ascends into heaven 40 days after Easter. What a blessing to have our Lord in all his resurrected glory, never again to die or suffer for 40 days. And then the wonderful event arrives. His apostles and disciples are gathered together. Our Lord gives them some last instructions and encouragement. He lifts up his hands to bless them and rises into the sky until a cloud obscures him from their eyes. And then he enters into the glory of his Father in heaven and begins to be with us in a different way. The Acts of the Apostles tell us this event in the very first chapter, verses 8 to 12. But you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. And they returned to Jerusalem from the mount that is called Olivet, which is High Jerusalem, within a Sabbath's day journey. So we see that the passion, the crucifixion, of Jesus reflects the toil and the crosses that the faithful soul will have to undergo on earth in this valley of tears, as we call it. But if we persist and are obedient and do the will of God, keeping the true faith and striving to obtain that Christian perfection to which God has called us, then we will see the glory of paradise, which is reflected in the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord. As our Lord said, not all who cry, Lord, Lord, shall be saved, but he who does the will of my Father. Or if ye love me, keep my commandments. Because we all wish to go to heaven, of course. But how often do we really wish to go to heaven? How often do we have that desire to obtain our eternal crown? For many, it is merely the thing to say, I want to go to heaven, for sure. But if we really wanted to obtain eternal happiness with all our hearts, then we would not complain when our Lord hands us a cross and bids us to follow him on the path to Calvary. If we really wish to go to heaven, then we would avoid sin at all costs. We have to prove this by our actions. Yes, we would even fly from venial sins, knowing that they can only weaken us and lead us into mortal sins, which will prevent us from entering heaven. Let us do the will of God, keeping the commandments and following the teachings of the church to the very end with resignation, perseverance, and the trust of Almighty God. Let us then not just give lip service to God, but really mean it when we say, I wish to go to heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.